Well, good morning, church family. It is always good to be here. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. It is good to see all these smiling faces here. And we had good weather. It didn't rain this morning. And everyone coming out with bright colors here for Easter and all the children. We had a good day yesterday at the egg hunt, too. So thank you all volunteers that helped us with that as well. That was a good day as well. What is the best news you've ever heard? Was it, you got the job? Congratulations, you've been accepted to college. Maybe it was from a doctor that said, congratulations, you're going to be a daddy. Or you're going to be a mommy. Or mom and dad, you're going to be grandparents. I look forward to those days. You know, each of ourselves and in our lives, maybe the biggest news that we got wasn't always good news. Maybe sometimes it was bad news. Maybe it came from a family member or a friend, or maybe it came in the mail. But each of us gets news in our lives. This past week, David Dixon was on his way to work, as he normally does, and he took the train to work, and he got a text from his aunt who lives in Great Britain. And David Dixon was on his way, and as he was preparing to get on the train, he got that text, and he texted his aunt back, and he said that he was fine. But 3 days later, his aunt and family got some news, because the news that they got was that David Dixon perished in the terrorist attack in the train station in the subway in Brussels. It was news that they weren't expecting. James Myers this past week was taking his 10-year-old daughter to school outside Charlotte when he got stopped by the police for a routine traffic stop. Mr. Myers was pulled over and from his brake light being out. And when that happened, the officer ran his license and he came back and said, we're going to need to see you down at the station. You can go on and take your daughter on to school, but we need to meet you down there. And the officer kind of chuckled. So when Mr. Myers had got to the police station, they politely handcuffed him, patted him down, and processed him. It turns out that James Myers had a warrant out for his arrest for the past 14 years for committing the high crime of not returning a VHS movie to a movie rental house. He received some interesting news. And also this past week, Crystal Laura, an 18-year-old student at Stuyvesant High School in Manhattan, the daughter of immigrant parents, was swimming at the Greensboro Aquatic Center. And when she was in her swim meet, just as she came to the finish and her hands touched the tile, she heard this huge roar erupt from her teammates. Well, when Crystal Laura came out of the water, she removed her goggles and she could see the scoreboard, which read 1 minute, 3 seconds, and 28/100 of a second. Just fast enough for Crystal Laura to be entered into the Olympic trials in Omaha, Nebraska this summer. Her mother, an immigrant from Colombia, said, "You don't understand how hard it is for a family like ours to get this kind of news." When Crystal, also known as Crystal the Pistol, got the news, she said, "I just felt this huge sense of pride." We all get news in our lives, good and sometimes not so good. Write this down. But the difference is not the news we get, but the hope that you have. Let me repeat that. The difference is not the news that you get, but the hope that you have. Mary Magdalene announced the news of the risen Jesus to the grieving disciples. And the Bible also announces the news for everyone today of the good news of the resurrection. But the difference is not the news that we get, but the hope that we have. Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 18 here today. We're going to see three reasons today for the best news that was ever heard. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 1. Now on that first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Yaroslav Pelikan, the pastor and theologian, said, "If Christ is risen, nothing else matters. And if Christ is not risen, nothing else matters." The resurrection means everything matters to the resurrection. Reason number one today, as I want us to see, is the resurrection is the best news ever heard because it's true. The resurrection is true. You know, if you watch the news on TV and you see a news anchor or you see a reporter on the scene, what do they often say? "We have heard, we are being told, sources have told us." In other words, they don't know what's really true. They're just conveying information from another source until that they can verify that. Well, what's the problem with that? Well, if you're going to put your faith in something, you want to know it's true, don't you? The resurrection is true. And that is the greatest news ever heard. When World War II was happening, there were several reports that said the war was over. And the war wasn't over. The same thing happened in the Vietnam War. There were reports and news reports that said the war is over. And the war was not over. But the best news ever heard is the resurrection is true. I want you to see 12 points why the resurrection was true. Number one, Jesus died due to crucifixion. Number two, Jesus was buried. Number three, his own disciples doubted and despaired after Jesus died. Number four, the tomb which Jesus was buried in was discovered by Mary Magdalene 2 days later. Number five, the disciples had actual experiences that they believed they had seen the risen Christ. Number six, the disciples turned their lives around even to the point that they were willing to die for their faith in Christ. Number seven, the gospel message was preached in Jerusalem, a hotbed of Judaism. You know, if you want to go preach a message, the last place you're probably going to want to do that is where there's the most opposition and the enemies. The resurrection was preached in Jerusalem. Number eight, the resurrection was the center of the disciples' preaching and proclamation. Number nine, the church actually began and was founded on the resurrection. Number 10, worship was moved from Saturday to Sunday because every Sunday is resurrection day. Number 11, James, the half-brother of Jesus, was skeptical and did not believe, but was later converted when he saw the resurrected Christ. And number 12, the apostle Paul, formerly known Saul, who had persecuted the early church and Christians, was converted when he saw the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. The resurrection is true. And the resurrection is attested by multiple independent eyewitnesses' accounts. And we have those accounts in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have the testimony here, which we've already read, of Mary Magdalene, who witnessed Jesus after leaving his tomb. We have the testimony from the Gospel of Matthew that testified that people had actually touched the risen Jesus. They actually clasped his feet. They did not want to let go of him. And the Gospel of Mark reported that Jesus appeared to them and actually rebuked them for their lack of faith. John attested that Jesus actually ate in front of them, their disciples. And Luke said that Jesus' resurrection body had flesh and bones. Jesus said, "Look at my hands and my feet, touch my side." There were over 500 witnesses in the book of Corinthians. And in Corinthians 15:6, the text says, "Then he," meaning Jesus, "appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time." 500 at one time. So we have this, what we call, internal evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible today, you have the evidence of the resurrection that is true. But actually, we have external evidence as well. There's the evidence of the enemies of Christ, the Jews and the Romans. The Romans wanted to do away with him because he was considered an insurrectionist. The Jews didn't want him around because they saw him as a threat to their faith and to the temple. But do you know that Josephus, a Pharisee, a Jewish historian in the first century, wrote about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And Tacitus, a Roman historian in the first century, also wrote at great length about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we have actual evidence, both internal and external, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the best news ever heard is that the resurrection is true. But the second reason today I want us to see is that the resurrection is the best news ever heard because it came after an apparent defeat. You know what I mean? When you get news after an apparent bad news and you actually get good news, it's like, lost my job on Friday, but I got a better one on Monday. You know what I mean? That's the best news when it seems like it's an apparent defeat and it turns out it's not a defeat. Victory is always good news, but the news, the victory after the battle is lost, is always even better. In the great battle of Waterloo between the British Empire and the French Empire was the battle of the century. And the British were led by General Wellington and the French were led by Napoleon. And this war was so divisive and was such a pivotal point for the nation of England that they needed to know the news of the outcome of the battle right away. So they had set up a series of signaling. whereas signals would come from one station to another, all the way from the battle, all the way to the news reached the city of London and to the king. And so what happened was is that the battle was complete, and the news came via from a ship, from a signalman, to those on the coast. And then by series of events, the signal would go all the way back to London. Well, when that ship was sending out a signal, it was in a deep fog. And so the first signal that came out was, Wellington defeated. Well, the signal went from one station to another, all the way back to London. And London was crushed. There was nothing but gloom and doom and despair for the nation of England. But you see, 3 hours later, that fog lifted. And that signalman on that ship didn't stop. He kept sending the signal. But this time, the signal was different. The signal said, Wellington defeated the enemy. Oh, what good news! When the disciples knew that Jesus Christ was crucified, died, and buried on Friday, and they got the news 3 days later, the fog had lifted. Jesus has defeated the enemy! Praise the Lord! That is the best news. That is the news of the resurrection, because it came after an apparent defeat. And we should all rejoice in that. Why is that important today? Why is that important for us to recognize that? Well, you see, death has been defeated. It's actually been crushed. The Apostle Paul said this was important. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15:12, he said, Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. In other words, what's the use? But the good news is the resurrection is true and that death has been defeated. And that's good news for all of us. And also, Paul quoted from the prophet Isaiah, and he explained this. He actually, the Apostle Paul, breaks this down to us, the importance of the defeat of death for all of us. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53 through 55, he said, For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. Okay, this stuff. This skin, all right, must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on the immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then we shall come to pass the saying that is written. And he quotes the prophet Isaiah, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Where is it? Because the tomb's empty. Where is it? What does that mean to us? What does that mean to you? What it means is that despite divorced marriages, the cancer wards, the abuse, the evil, the terror that we see and experience means that it does not have the final say. It means that Jesus has the final say because death has been defeated. Jesus gets to make that final word. Waiting from that time until the enemy should be made a footstool for his feet. Hebrews 10:13. But the third thing, the third reason I want us to see today is that the resurrection is the best news ever because of what it proves. The resurrection is the best news ever because what it proves. And it proves a lot. And this where it just keeps getting better. Mary said she had the testimony And she said there, the key part of this text in verse 18, she said, I have seen the Lord. I have seen him. She has testified. And so now the resurrection is the best news ever because of what it proves. First, it proves that there is a God, and the God of the Bible is the true God. Why is that? Well, if we go back to the very beginning, we don't go to the New Testament. You see, the gospel didn't start in the New Testament. It goes way before that. It goes when sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden, and when Adam and Eve had sinned and they had eaten the forbidden fruit that God told them not to eat, sin entered the world for me and for you and for all humanity for all time. Sin exists, evil, pestilence, terror. But God didn't go, oops, didn't see that one coming. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has occurred to God? He knew this from the very beginning. Yes, God sees. Yes, God knows. And he said in Genesis 3:15, the son's heel will crush the head of the serpent. Jesus Christ will defeat death. He had announced it right there from the very beginning. It was his plan for all time that the Messiah would come and defeat death once and all and sin for all of us by the power of his resurrection. So it proves that Jesus came for all of us to defeat death. The need for a Savior was provided. And prophecy was fulfilled. It proves Jesus' own deity. Jesus told everyone at the temple, he said, tear down this temple and 3 days I will rebuild it. He was prophesying about his own resurrection. He was, in fact, sealing his divinity to everyone and making it known. And it also proves that the resurrection proves that belief in Jesus, that we, through faith in him, are justified before God. Turn to your Bibles for a moment to the book of Romans chapter 4. I want us to see something. Romans chapter 4. Verse 24. Romans 4:24. The scripture says, it will be counted to us who believe in him, meaning Jesus, who was raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. He paid the price for us, for our justification. So it doesn't matter what happened in the garden. God had a plan for all of us through simple faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And what that means is that now, when you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he doesn't see the old self. He sees Jesus. Man, I don't know about you, but I want to get excited about that. Amen? He doesn't see the old self. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen? Whew. Go tell your boss that on Monday morning. We have that assurance that the resurrection proves that we have been justified in Christ through faith in him. It also proves that believers in Christ can also have victory over sin and death. Turn also in the book of Romans, if you will, just a couple more chapters. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. The scripture says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. That means that your sin was buried. Okay? In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in the newness of life. Woo! The newness of life. Guess what that means? One day, Jesus is coming back, and the Bible tells us that there's going to be a great resurrection. There's going to be the resurrection of the dead and a resurrection of the living. And if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it says that you get to walk in the newness of life. You, in other words, will have a new glorified body, a physical glorified body upon the day when the Lord returns. Amen? But it just keeps getting better. The resurrection is the best news ever because it proves that the resurrection is evidence for our own resurrection. You know, today is Easter Sunday. I don't know about you, but maybe some of y'all might be planning on getting some family together today. Maybe y'all getting the house cleaned up, the yard cleaned up. Maybe y'all doing some cooking. Are you just doing that just to clean up the house and just do a bunch of cooking? Or you got plans? You got plans for somebody to come over? Well, yeah, if you're going to make those plans, obviously, if you're going to do all that work, you're going to have somebody to come over, right? Well, guess what? So does Jesus. He's been making plans too. And then the night of before his crucifixion, he sought to comfort his disciples. Now, if we go back to the Gospel of John, and we'll probably finish our scriptural aerobics today. John chapter 14, Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you," listen, "I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." There's an Easter Sunday on Resurrection Day, and Jesus is coming back. And he's coming for you. And he's coming for everyone that has put their faith in him. He is preparing a place. And he's not doing it in vain for no good reason. He's doing it to come and get you. To be with him and the Father for all eternity. In heaven, no sin, no pain, no suffering, no evil. No more bad news. This means that since Jesus has prepared a place, he is preparing a home for us. Jesus' resurrection is the best news ever because it demands a saving response from each of us, okay? The resurrection demands a saving response from you. Every man, woman, and child, the resurrection demands a saving response. What do I mean by that? If you had news, if maybe a coworker, somebody got a promotion, that's good news for them. Well, what about the other three candidates that didn't get the job? You know, this is an election year. What if you're a political party or a candidate and you win? That's awesome news for you or that candidate, but not for the other party. What if they pass a bunch of laws and they start cutting a bunch of taxes and you get a break on your taxes? Well, that's good news for you, but it might not be good for somebody else. But the resurrection demands a saving response for everybody because that news is for everybody. It's not just good news for somebody and bad news for somebody else. It's the good news for everyone. And that is the saving response that all of us are given. So almost all human news has limitations to those whom it affects. But the resurrection is the good news to everyone who comes to simple faith in Jesus Christ. And if Christ is not risen, if Christ is risen, nothing else matters. And if Christ is not risen, nothing else matters. You need to search your own life today. Where are you in your relationship with God? He desires for every one of us for a saving response to him based on the truth and the good news from the resurrection. That's what we have. Don't let the pressure of the world tell you where to put your hope. Put your hope in Christ. Don't put your faith in an ideology or an organization or a philosophy or a morality or even in a religion. Put your faith in the person of Jesus Christ through a personal relationship with Him. That is the good news of the resurrection. And most importantly, choose Christ today by praying a prayer of faith. I want to close with a story today. Some of you maybe go to a grocery store or a convenience store, and sometimes you see these signs that says lost cat or lost dog. Well, there was a community that did such a thing. They put up an ad. They posted a picture of a dog. It said lost dog, brown hair, white spots, broken leg, busted hip, blind in one eye, and one half of the ear chewed off. And he goes by the name of Lucky. Well, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like an appropriate name for a dog with a broken leg, busted hip, one eye, half an ear. But actually, he is lucky because somebody loves that dog enough to offer a reward. And you see, that's us. And our brokenness and in our past and the things you may have done or maybe what's going on in your life today, no matter what, you're lucky because somebody loves you so much that they have paid the highest reward. God has sent His Son for you to die on the cross for you because He loves you so much. And we can say that no matter who we are or what we've done, we're lucky too. And that's the good news of the gospel. Will you join me in prayer?